All right. Welcome to the Kings Road podcast. This is episode 2. I am your host, Justin Yontz, along with my co-host, Charles. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's everybody doing? America.
There you go. All right. So let's talk about the rumors that came out that Tony Khan took the power away from the EVPs. What do you think about that?
I think it's more that people are just trying to stir shit, you know, because AEW is so boring when it comes to, like, gossip. You know, if you notice, all the gossip comes from WWE and New Japan. You don't really get much controversy in AEW, so they have to stir something up. You know, Tony Khan already spoke about the fact that he's been taking more charge. You know, and what did people think? Only one person can call everything. Like somebody said, like I read the report where it's like, Tony Khan is the final voice. He was always the final voice. Yeah. You know, like what's different? Okay, from what I saw, the Young Bucks aren't really involved in the creative that much anymore.
Hmm.
I'm not surprised because they wanted to lose every match.
I get it. Well, yeah, and that was so dumb. with Cody, it almost feels like a lot of his angles are like almost separate from the show. Like they don't flow with the show. I don't know if you feel that.
I feel it flows with the show. I just feel that because he's directly involved with his angles, he makes sure that there's more attention put into it than if it wasn't him. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For example, all his matches always get promotion. Always. You notice that every single time. Always gets promotion. And if you think about it, who else gets constant promotion of every single match they do? Nobody. Yeah. Not even Jericho. Not Kenny Omega. I mean, CM Punk, but he's CM Punk. He could do that.
Speaking Cody, did you watch Roads to the Top?
Yeah, I like it.
You do?
I like it a lot. I like it a lot more than Total Divas because Total Divas is really for chicks, you know? Yeah. It's not meant. This feels like it's another natural hour to the wrestling show because they add promos in the commercial breaks of the actual show. They're promoting the matches. They're promoting wrestlers, different wrestlers. You can tell that this is not just a Cody Rhodes show. This is a vehicle to push AEW even further.
But notice you never saw Omega or the Young Bucks.
No, you didn't. Which does kind of go into the rumor. And to be honest, if you've been noticing, you kind of noticed that already. Yeah, you never see Cody with the Elite. He stopped being a part of being the Elite. You know, he stopped being a part of the Elite. I feel like 3 months after AEW started.
Did you never hear about him with them. Did you hear about what Cornette said about Roads to the Top?
Now, what he said?
Oh, he just hates it. Absolutely hates it. Of course,
he's gotta hate it. It breaks kayfabe. It portrays what he thinks wrestling should be. I'm not gonna disagree or agree with that. But that's
not why he hates it. He just hates the whole. He hates the whole thing. He just hates the idea of showing wrestlers having problems. Yes,
it portrays the business as he knew it. I get it. Like, I do get that part. But if you see it for what it is, I think it's entertaining. It promotes all the wrestlers.
Brian Last put on, you know, his co-host. He said that he predicts that in 2 years.
Jobber?
Yeah, that jobber. Boy. He predicts, we're making friends already.
Who cares if we make friends with the young boy of Jim Cornette?
Anyways, he predicts that Cody and Brandy will be the first to leave of the EVPs.
I don't agree with that. Okay, leave the company.
Yeah, because I mean, it seems like he doesn't really want to do wrestling much anymore. He seems like he just wants to do, like, this reality show seems to be his, you know, foray vehicle into
acting,
entertainment,
politics.
The it, same way The Miz is probably coming
in. From what I've seen of Cody and the shows that I've listened to him in, I don't think he's that interested in acting as much as politics. Like, yeah, he definitely, he says he wants to run for Georgia Senate within the next 5 years. So right off the bat, he's telling you he doesn't want to wrestle within 5 years. So that right there, he's telling you he wants to leave wrestling within 5 years. So
one thing I like about the roads to the top is when they
show. But he's honest about it. Like, it's not like he's lying about anything.
But one thing I didn't like about Roads to the Top is when they show Brandy telling Jade Cargill and Red Velvet, you know, you're hitting each other too hard.
I mean, okay, look at Jade Cargill. Look at Jay Cargill, though, and then look at Red Velvet. Like, I mean,
yeah,
there's a line, right? Like, there's a line. I get, you know, and wrestlers have different philosophies. Like, you know, those women they're not Misawa Kawada. They're not trying to, like, or Ishii. And Shingo Takagi, they're not trying to wake themselves up with chop and slap battles. They don't know about that stuff. You know?
Did you ever see the A&E documentary that came out like in 98? And they show Paul White, Big Show in there, and he goes, you know, I just try not to kill him.
I like the adage of you'll be hurting, but you'll go home to your wife. Like, I like that adage. You know, You beat them up, but you make sure that you don't do nothing that could injure them. You know, like, and honestly, it's not that hard. I think it's far more dangerous when you try to do some of these fancy moves that happen to drop people on their heads a lot of times. You know,
well, that's Goldberg, that. I mean, he, boy.
You know, I just feel like how many people got injured by Kobashi? You know, like,
I mean,
who got hurt by Kobashi?
I don't know. I wouldn't say anybody, really.
You know, like.
But those were tough matches. Yeah, and that's what I agree. I agree. Like, let's make it physical and stuff. But yeah, let's not actually.
Look at Ishii. You know that when you fight Ishii, you're going to get hurt. But have you ever seen anybody get injured during an Ishii match?
Yeah.
He'll hurt you. He'll chop you. He'll do this and that. But, I mean, the Brainbuster doesn't look that dangerous.
It's the same thing with Suzuki. He looks like really hurts.
But yeah, he's fucking you up.
He's good.
But, I mean, the Gotch Pile Driver is safe. And honestly, that's it. That's the only move he even does that have any real danger to it.
He knows how to do it, you know.
He's Minoru Suzuki. Every move he does has danger to it. That's where you need to get to. When you get to a point where any move you make gets a reaction because of who you are, you don't need to do a package power driver, even though I like that move. You know, you don't have to do these super, you know, extra moves.
Getting back to, you know, the Khan thing. What do you think led to the split between the Bucks, Omega, and Cody?
I think it was natural. I think Cody he had an idea where he wanted his career to be, and he saw that he can do with these guys. I think he had the motivation that maybe the Young Bucks and Omega didn't have, the drive. I don't think without Cody you get AEW. I don't think, and people say, but the Young Bucks, it's like, I don't know if the Young Bucks would have gone with it. if they didn't have a Cody to drive them to that. But once you get to a point where you're okay, like we've reached the finish line, you don't want a guy pushing you when you already won the race.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you got like a breaking off the factions. They never seem like similar people.
So you think that Tony Khan, so we both kind of agree that Tony Khan, this whole story is kind of just a way to push shit because they don't have anything to
talk. Yeah, I think naturally they were friendly, but I don't think anybody ever thought Cody was best friends with the Young Bucks the way he was with Adam Cole or Omega or even AJ. You know, I just thought that he was the guy who had a drive to push things, and he pushed things, and we got to where we were. Like, that's why I find it kind of weird that people are booing Cody. I mean, because do you get AEW without Cody? I don't think you do.
Yeah, but that's not why they're booing him. They're booing him.
I know that. But you get what I'm saying?
He's got his own entrance. He's got his own angles. He's got this whole entourage. I mean, that's a heel thing.
No, that's a Triple H thing. It's a Triple H gimmick.
Can come out with a group of people and still be like a face. I mean, you got to be a certain kind of face.
When Punk is like, man, how much money they spent on this entrance?
all right. Did he say that?
Yeah. They must have spent a fortune.
On the door opening? On Cody's?
On Cody Rhodes' entrance.
Okay. That's fine. All right. So they just released that they're going to be in the Target Center for Full Gear. What do you think about that?
I already saw it coming because Meltzer was already talking about that they were going to do Minnesota. And it was kind of weird that they booked the arena for the Dynamite before, but not for the show. Whatever. I was not surprised. I don't like the idea of you having all this momentum and then you decide to run on one of your weakest, if not your weakest, pay-per-view market. I get it.
Why are they going to St. Louis? That's where I thought they were going.
I get it. I think I get it. I think Tony's idea might be that he wants to start to grow in the territories they're weakest at by going to them more often or at all. Because how many they haven't done a show in Minnesota yet. But, like, what shows run there outside of WWE?
I don't know if
they even have an indie or anything.
How many people can they get into that arena in the Target Center? Is that a big arena?
Let me check. But my feeling was that I saw it was like probably 15 Target Center.
See, I just think they can get more now.
It's 19,356.
I want them to get to like 30,000 people in
there. Yeah. Well, here's the problem. Okay, you do 30,000, you're not selling out of Minnesota.
No,
you're gonna do 30,000, you gotta go to a hot place. But at the same time, you can't make every show be New York or Chicago, because it really does feel like every 2-3 shows is a Chicago show. Like they're like, I feel between Chicago and Florida, that's like 80% of the shows that AEW runs.
I think they need to go to LA, and I think they need to go to San Diego.
I think they need to go to LA. I think they would do great in LA. I think they need to stop doing these low arenas. Even though Target Center is not a low arena, it's a legitimate arena.
I mean, that's where they
ran. It's an NBA arena. Yeah.
That's where they ran it. I mean, when they did SummerSlam in WWE, they used the Target Center.
But I think they're trying to, like, go to cities they're weak at and try to get it more live. Maybe they're trying to show them, look, this is why we're better than WWE. And you do have to do that. I mean, you're not gonna grow a base if you never go. So
So
I
should the
just
next
don't know
day?
if you should have done a pay-per-view. I don't think that
Yeah,
was
should the next
wise.
pay-per-view then be in Idaho?
Oh God. You know, like
Is
we're,
there even
so
an
like
arena?
you know what's embarrassing? So we're in New York and we don't get a pay-per-view, but Minnesota does.
I know. And they,
Like
well, I don't know. It's just kind of upsetting
you're
to me.
not.
This first ever, the first, title, first Danielson, Omega match that's going to be, going to have the 60-minute time limit will be in that arena. I don't know.
I'm not a fan, but I get it.
I agree with you. Like, I don't mind them going to those other places, but doing the pay-per-view,
I don't
I just think the pay-per-view should be set.
not when you're not running, if you're running monthly pay-per-views, yeah. But if
Yeah.
you're running pay-per-views, four pay-per-views a year, you should all four pay-per-views should be in major cities.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, originally they were going to be in St. Louis. I thought that would have been a great place for
I
them
know
to.
that I know WWE is doing St. Louis. They're doing Rumble in St. Louis. Maybe they knew that and wanted to move out. I think that's a mistake though, because I think they could go against WWE when it comes to
I
live
mean,
events. I think they can compete
I
with
mean the Rumble's
WWE.
in January, Full Gear is
Yeah.
in. I mean, does WWE have
I
a
don't know
quote?
if they're doing a show in St. Louis before the Rumble, you know?
I don't know. I just think I don't know. I just thought
I
that
don't know
that
what happened there. Maybe the St. Louis arena they were going to was like, oh, we only mess with WWE, so we can't really do nothing. I don't know, you
I don't know.
know.
I just don't get why Minnesota. Like that. Like when I saw that, I was like, "Really? This
It's
where we're going?"
random.
Right. Well, that's what we got. All right. So now let's talk about Dynamite. They did 6,500 fans. 6,100 paid. That's pretty good. It's only
Very
400.
good.
Oh, the show starts off. CM Punk comes out for commentary. He's got the Rancid shirt on. I mean, I think his commentary is great. He's an asset to the show when he does
Definitely.
come.
I always thought he was a great commentator.
Yeah, he
Even when
really
he was doing it in WWE. I don't know if you heard the stories where he would mute Vince McMahon
No.
in the microphone. Like, I love that stuff.
Wait,
Like,
seriously? Really?
yeah. Are you surprised that Punk would do that?
I just didn't know you could even do that. I mean, what do you, I
That
mean, he's
and you know, Punk said it in StarCast because that's where he said it. It's like
Oh, it's
Jay apparently Jerry Lawler said to him, I didn't know you could do that. You know, like that, I think that's
Well, it's
great, you
like
know.
that time when Danielson, when he was one of the pros, and Danielson was talking to the Miz, and he was going, I'm a better wrestler than you, and they have Punk and William Regal in the back, and he's going like he's this much bigger, better than you. And it's like holding, and then you have Regal shaking it, nodding his head like, yeah, he is. And this is when they were like, basically, they saw nothing in
not
Danielson.
not for nothing, but man, it's good to see the American Dragon back.
It really.
I honestly felt like the Jackson match
I know.
reminded me
We gotta get to
more.
that. We gotta get to Jackson, man. Let's start with Cole and Jungle Boy. What'd you think of that match?
Fantastic match, the right finish. I know people are complaining that Jungle Boy should have won, and they don't get it if
Do
they
you
really
think he
believe
should have
that.
kicked out of the Panama Sunrise? The only
That's
thing I.
fine. That's fine because it doesn't seem like that's his main finisher anyway. It seems like
Yeah.
the last shot is gonna be his main finisher, so it doesn't really matter. The match was great.
Because I
Like,
always saw the Panama Sunrise as like that's the super finisher. When he hits that, it's like
nah,
it's.
no, that was never the super. I mean, it used to be. That's a problem. That I feel like wrestlers should really decide what they want their moves to be before they even get to a company and say what their hierarchy is. And don't change it every couple months. There was a time the Panama Sunrise was his main finisher, and then it wasn't. And then it comes back and then it doesn't, Like I like a little bit of consistency with that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a great match. I thought the finish was great. I made Jungle Boy look great and a loss. I do feel Jungle Boy is definitely gonna have to win his next cup, like his next main feud, because he's taken a couple big L's lately.
Yeah. All right, so then afterwards the elite come out, and as soon as they start playing the song, the Punk goes, "What the hell is that? We went from that to this."
I know there's champions, but they're like really goofy. I don't know, man. I guess, I don't know. Like I like badass stuff, so like that kind of stuff just doesn't like hit with me.
You don't like guys coming out
I
with
don't
like,
like people
you
acting
don't
like Shawn Michaels when he had assless chaps.
you
Like
don't
that
like
doesn't
two
do it for
guys
me.
coming out looking like golf caddies?
Like and trying to dance like they're Shawn Michaels in '97 or something. Like it was
I
like
mean, they're now what is it? They're called the Super Click now. I mean, they're basically,
the Super Click is only Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. With all of them is the Elite.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. All right, so then they have so then Danielson comes out, and I can't believe this kind of got over was the Kenny No Balls.
I will say one thing. Man, what the hell happened to Christian? Hey, Christian is exactly where I said he was gonna be.
This is where
The
he
dude had no
comes out with
music. He had no music.
Well, he comes out with the Jurassic
He has
Express.
no music. Is the guy that shows up the nameplate, Christian, about to face a real star. Kenny by God Omega.
Yes, Christian has
Not that I ever paid attention to Christian's career.
well, you wanted a blue dot on him, right?
Wrong guy, but
I can't believe they actually got to put that on him.
I
I
mean,
mean,
I could believe it. It's
Vince is
Christian.
serious today. I mean, how would that even work? We're just gonna
I
censor
mean, it's
face.
Christian,
I mean,
I mean, Christian is great,
did
but
Vince come up with Creepy Little Bastard, the CLB, and told
yeah,
them
that was gonna get you
Austin,
over that, like.
told Austin, say this? I see him as a creepy little
And
bastard.
you know, Austin was like, man, I don't want to bury this kid, man.
I mean, he did it in a way that kind of got him over in some
It
ways.
got him over because Christian is a great promo,
Yeah.
and he was great in that time period. Like I loved Christian in that time period,
Yeah,
but we're
he's
in 2021 now,
exactly. Agreed. All right, so then we have the so Danielson gets over No Balls Omega. Oh, Kenny No Balls
I'm not
Omega.
surprised. I'm not
Is that
surprised.
going to why? All right, here's some of it. What was it about that that they latched on to?
Because it's something that felt organic. It's not like they didn't feel, oh man, Danielson is trying to make us do a chant. I'm pretty confident that I don't think Danielson thought that would become a chant. I can't
No, I
believe he
mean,
did.
when you're in WWE, you kind of learn. I mean, the really good ones that are on promo, they know how to kind of get that stuff over, like
Yeah, but only The
whatever you
Rock
have
could do
to say.
that. Only The Rock could do that. Only The Rock was allowed to be able to do that.
But I mean, the way he said it, I mean, it almost felt like he did design it to kind of get over like that, because he put those pauses in between there. which is kind of like a signal to the, like, I was watching somebody was showing the first time they chanted the You Suck in Kurt Angle's song or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting the way. Yeah. And then he's like, he sells it so well. He's like, no, don't play my music. Don't play my, and they start doing it. And they have done that for almost 20 years. I mean, Kenny Noble's going to latch on, or is that just that crap?
I don't think it'll latch on because it's too long of a chant.
Well, we'll get to that when we get there, because I'll talk about some of the chants during the Danielson match. So Danielson versus the Bucks. They never really announced, though. He just said he was going to call out one of them. He wanted to fight somebody. And then I think backstage or whatever, they announced that it was going to be.
They announced it on Dynamite for Rampage.
They did. Okay. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about, or we'll be another 2-hour show. Cody Rhodes and Lee Johnson beat Dean Martin and Matt Sydal. Dante Martin, not Dean.
Yeah, okay. Next.
Yeah, I got to say this, though, about Dante Martin, not Dean.
Next.
He's pretty good. You don't think he's good?
Next.
All right, you got it right there. All right, so then they have the promo, and Arn basically cuts him off and is basically a lot of people got mad at him for saying that he'd shoot.
Okay, I got to say something about this.
Okay.
Every wrestler in AEW and WWE should be ashamed that a 70-year-old man made himself feel more of a badass and more threatening than both locker rooms combined.
I think part of the problem
with ease, and he did it with ease, and that it didn't feel like there was not one person.
But here's the problem with Cody's, you know, promos. A lot of them feel workshop, like he's sitting there agonizing over the words.
Yeah,
instead of like a punk.
Because he's been WWE'd. He is too WWE for his own good.
Yeah, and do you think Punk sits there agonizing over his words? No, he feels the crowd and then he goes with that.
There's not one person in that arena that felt that if they fucked with Arn Anderson, they weren't gonna get shot. And
do you agree with some people that was a step too far? That he should have said the gun.
No such thing. This is wrestling. No such thing.
That's how I feel.
Okay. Like, honestly, you know, the only thing that should be ashamed is the fact that nobody else cut a promo like that. Brian Pillman Jr. cut a promo like that, and I wouldn't think he's such a jobber. You know? Like that's what Brian Pillman Jr. should have cut, a promo like that.
I mean, like Jim Ross, who said to Brian Pillman Jr., you know, we gotta
kick his ass.
We gotta see, you know, you gotta try and whip his ass, you know?
Brian has no confidence in him to do anything. He don't have it. Arn Anderson cut a great promo, and that's the right promo to cut because it made everybody have their jaw dropped, and that's what you want.
And then he said to Lee Johnson, he said, "Come on, Lee, at least you listen to me."
Did you see the collective gasp when he said, "I'll pull out the Glock"? And you got a collective gasp from the arena. Like, that's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what you want. But the problem is he's too old, so he can't actually do anything with that promo. That's the only shame of it. That promo should have been somebody else cutting it. But nobody else could cut it because they don't have
Let's be honest here. Arn Anderson is one of the best promos of all time. If you look at that promo.
Okay, but Justin. Do you feel if you will go up to Arn Anderson's car and test him, do you think he would pull out a gun and shoot you?
Dude, I told you he works out at my gym. I've seen the man. I've seen him walk.
You seen
around.
His Glock?
I've not seen the Glock. Now I'm kind of curious. I'm gonna go stop it. I'll be like, "Can you pull the Glock on me?"
Armed Anderson.
Armed Anderson. Yeah. I don't know. I feel bad. Like. What do you think of Arn Anderson's son, Brock? Is he good? Do you think he's going to be good?
There's only one Brock I care about.
I know. That's kind of what my problem is. It's like, why'd you name him Brock?
Well, I mean, Brock Lesnar wasn't born. I mean, he didn't exist to Arn Anderson back then. How old is Brock anyway?
He's like almost 40 now.
No, I mean the Brock Jr.
I don't know. How am I going to know? He's had like one match.
Well, I mean, maybe he didn't know about Brock Lesnar when he made the name.
When he made the Sun. All right, so moving on. John Moxley and Eddie Kingston, Darby Allin beat Bear Country and Anthony Green. Who cares? I don't know. Do you have anything to say about it?
Next.
All right, here we go. All right, let's talk about Lio Rush. That was actually before that. What do you think about Lio Rush coming back?
I'm a big fan. I think he's the fastest wrestler I've ever seen. And I think when I can say that with confidence, he could get away with shit like retiring three times or whatever the hell it is.
All right. So we had the Britt Baker promo, and it was okay. I thought, it's a good Britt Baker promo.
I love Britt Baker, man. It's like, she said, here's the difference between AEW and WWE. There's no way in hell WWE would let Britt Baker cut a promo saying, people weren't cheering for you. They liked the song.
WWE gives them scripts. How are they going to do anything?
Yeah, like, because it's true, script. Though.
But it looks like Britt and Ruby are going to continue. That looks like that feud is continuing.
Really? Because I had a feeling like Jade Cargill is going to be the next person in a feud.
I don't think so. I think they're probably going to give her the TBS championship.
That's also a possibility, yeah.
I think that's what they're going to do.
I would think that's a better idea.
But yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, she did. She won. Well, we'll get to Rampage in a minute. All right, so let's talk about the 16-man tag. The Dark Order and Orange Cassidy versus, Matt Hardy and company. What'd you think? This was a nice little match because I like the Dark Order.
You know, like,
I can't really get into the Dark Order because I just feel like they're like the clowns that they send out in the middle of the show so the fans can clap.
You know what's the difference between the Dark Order and the clowns you send in the middle of the show? Clowns in the middle of the show do not bring you a match where you have an emotional investment like this. And if you think about it, some of the most emotionally invested matches of the last year have involved the Dark Order. Now, we know why, but the fact remains that when I'm watching this match, it gets me like a smile. Like, normally, yeah. I don't like stuff like this because when other companies, and I'm not saying it's just WWE, I'm saying historically when other companies do this, it feels like they're exploiting something. And it never feels like that with AEW. It feels nice. You're like, man, what a sweetheart company. Like you feel for the Sun.
They had Amanda Huber out there. You know, she came out and, got them, So apparently this was all an angle, the Dark Order breaking up just for that match.
That's great.
Which is good. It was good.
That's great. Because that is something when, like, the kid goes and tries to, like, bring them in and Amanda brings them in. And everybody could get into that. You know, Bray Wyatt would have been an easy one, too. But without the star power, this is the easiest avenue by far.
All this, you know how they call them, like, negative one? And you've got, all these, what is it, like, 10? And I'm like, were they, like, watching, what is it called? The Venture Brothers and going, let's steal that name. Is it? They sound, their names all sound like that now.
But I thought it was a nice storyline. No, really, it made me smile with the kid. I feel so sorry for him. I just like it.
AEW, you can tell, are going to take care of them. It's not like.
Yeah.
I mean, WWE's going to take care of you, but if you say, like, one wrong thing about them, they would be like...
When do they take care of... Who do they take care of?
I think they took care of Vicky for a while.
For a while?
Yeah, for a while. That's bad.
Okay.
It's like TNA when the guy lost
his leg. They gave him a contract that they know that they probably know they probably won't get. You know, they're doing it for kindness instead of like, you know, like with Vicky, they were parading her every 2 seconds. I don't know, like when WWE does stuff, it just feels wrong. They said Eddie was going to hell.
You mean like backing up a lowrider into the SmackDown Titantron and exploding? That didn't feel wrong.
They just do a lot of like.
You know why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want goodwill. They want good publicity. It's not coming from we want to help people. It's coming from we want to make money.
Notice anytime anybody mentions Brody in the media scrum, you just see Tony Khan start to tear up. That doesn't feel fake. Maybe he's the greatest actor of all time. I don't know.
I'm doubting it. And if you mention Brody Lee, he doesn't go. He goes, ooh, Luke Harper.
I think it was very telling when Big E did that promo a couple weeks ago and the crowd chanted Brody and not Luke Harper. I think that tells you a lot about what the crowds are into right now.
Well, you heard what Meltzer said, that Big E was, I think, there on his deathbed that those last days.
Yeah, I heard that.
Because he probably didn't trust WWE to tell them, you know, I got to go see a sick, you know. I'm sure he told them that he was seeing a sick friend, but I doubt he told WWE, you know, I'm seeing Brody Lee for the last time. They knew they were keeping it secret. And if WWE found out about it, it would be
out there. I shit on WWE a lot, but I think that they probably knew he was looking at Brody Lee. Maybe he didn't know that Brody was as sick as he was. But yeah. I think that they knew that Big E went to see Brody. Because it's the kind of thing, even if WWE wanted to say something, they aren't going to say anything.
Yeah.
It would look bad.
It was a great moment. It is a great moment because they're doing it from a place of love. That's why it probably was a good idea not to bring, you know, Bray Wyatt to debut on that show because it's like.
I think it would have been fine. I think that would have been fine too. It's like when they got Rowan. I thought that was a nice touch. I think bringing Bray would have been a nice touch. But if you don't do that, that's fine as well. But I think it would have been a nice touch because you know he was also hurting. And from what I've seen, he's probably the guy that has taken it the worst.
Now, Penta and Phoenix, it looks like they're going to their first feud is going to be the FTR.
Great.
Which FTR should be good. Is
great.
Is the Pinnacle gone? I mean, what is the Pinnacle?
I think they're trying to do a New Japan kind of faction thing because you don't see the Inner Circle with Sammy Guevara. You don't see the Pinnacle with MJF. I think they're trying to make loose factions.
Yeah. Which,
it's fine. I don't have a problem with that because it also makes it so that you don't always have to do breakup angles.
Yeah.
You could just let people do what they want.
All right, so here we go. Now we got Dan Lambert and Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. I thought Ethan Page had a really good promo.
Yeah, he was good.
Scorpio Sky was, I mean, it's better than like a, it's better than Ricochet. You.
Yeah, anything's better than Ricochet.
So Hirokara Shida is going to be facing Serena.
Oh, Deeb. That's another one. I think Hirokara Shida is going to face Britt Baker at Full Gear.
That could happen too. She's got 49 wins. If she wins one more, she'll be the first person to have 50 wins. That should be interesting. That should be a good match. Nice.
I like that kind of stuff. All
right, so now we got Anna Jay and Ty Conti versus Penelope Ford and the Bunny. This was, you know, you could see how emotional Ty Conti was. Is at the end of this match, you know, -1 came in and you know, hugged her, you know, you could tell those two love.
Yeah, they take a lot of pictures together. I heard that they're really close.
Which is great.
Yeah.
This is really, really good. We got a promo, Nyla Rose, Thunder Rosa, and Jade Cargill. We'll get to that match next. Now let's get to the big thing. MJF and Wardlow, and he's talking about the four pillars of AEW, which, you know, everybody knows is, you know.
I love the segment.
This was good. I thought this was one of MJF's best promos. And then you had Darby Allin coming out, and he's basically talking about his father died in a car wreck, and he said the wrong... He's like, the wrong person died. All I kept thinking of is that Walk Hard movie or Walk the Line where he goes, the wrong kid died.
Man, the guy knows how to get heat. I thought that the promo was great.
He's the first guy I want to see Punk with.
I think Darby is... he's got to be like a Jeff Hardy promo.
Yeah,
where it doesn't really like it's not like great in the way like a Punk promo would be great, but it gets the same amount of reaction from the crowd. I think he should keep his promos very short and sweet.
And then MJF said, there's nothing wrong with being second best, and he mentions Lou Gehrig, Scottie Pippen. And Sting.
That was great. That was great.
It's
true.
This is good. This is a good. Yeah. This is a good little feud for them.
Here's the thing, though. You know what's the problem with me with that? The whole Darby and MJF thing. I think they both need a win. And these are those situations that I hate WWE constantly puts themselves into. When you put two guys that shouldn't be losing against each other, then you're bound to mess somebody up. Like, I don't think MJF should be losing.
But I think the reason they're being put together is because of the dynamic of the two. We got the bully. Versus the guy who, you know.
That's a great dynamic. I love it. Like, I was instantly more interested in this feud than the Jericho feud.
Whereas WWE would just throw in, you know, two guys that shouldn't lose to each other, but there's nothing to care about either.
Exactly. And something that I really liked about MJF starting the promo, talking about the four pillars, is that he's laying a baseline for what the company is, and for you to understand the scope of the company and who are the guys that you can cut. And look, when the promo started, I was thinking Sammy Guevara, really? By the end of the show, I felt, okay, now I get it.
Man, Sammy Guevara is...
But I like the fact that he put that baseline there, and you can clearly see those are the four guys. Even though I do think Adam Cole's got to put a wrench in that, because he's not old.
Where they're gonna be like, no, these are our guys, and no one can get past them. If they see somebody,
I'm saying that I definitely think he's got to put a wrench in the pillars, because I think he's 32 or 31, something like that. So he ain't old, and he's more popular than any of those four guys. Including Darby Allin, which is saying a lot because Darby is very over. But I like that you put that baseline and you're like, these are the guys, everybody knows it. You know, like I always love that kind of foundation in a company. You know what I feel about like the four pillars of New Japan? I think every company should have four guys that never lose. Unless you're one of those four guys. I think, I'm a fan of that because that's how real life is. You put any sport, there's always a couple players or a couple teams that dominate. That's just how it is. Yeah. And I
absolutely
realism to it.
The problem with WWE is, though, they don't allow anyone to even get into that group.
Even the problem is that the group changes constantly.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like a couple years ago, AJ was in that group. Then he wasn't in that group. The only guy that consistently stays in that group or close to that group is like Randy Orton. Brock Lesnar is a mainstay. He's the only real mainstay.
I would say Cena, Orton, Roman, Brock. Those are the four pillars in that company.
Yeah, but that changes because then remember Cena lost in 6 minutes to Dean Ambrose. You know?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't see, they don't look at it like, because WWE doesn't care about wins and losses, it doesn't matter.
That's also the problem. Yeah. But that's why I believe four pillars are so important. Because if you have those four guys and you're agreeing that only those four guys could beat one of the other four guys, then you're accepting that wins and losses have to matter.
Yeah.
You know, like Big E's the champion. I don't think Big E should be champion. Why? Because he's not one of the four best people in the company. It's that simple. Like, it's not about deserve. It's not about all this. Are you the best?
If you're not. That's what I think, you know, that we need. Yeah, I want the best. And here's the thing that all these guys.
Have you ever heard Roman say he deserves it?
No, but he basically since day
one. He says it's not about that.
Yeah. No, also, he's a heel. He's not going to do that. But MJF, you know, MJF's Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, these guys all get to work with guys that are going to make them better. Omega, the Young Bucks, Danielson, Punk. All these great guys are coming in. You know, Bray comes in. He'll be able to teach them on promos because Bray is really good on promos.
Oh, yeah. If he goes,
he
don't know.
If he is foolish enough to go to TNA or Impact, whatever the hell
maybe,
they
want
to
call maybe, company, maybe AEW doesn't want him or doesn't want him at the price that he wants to be in. You don't know. Maybe they were like, maybe they decided to go all in with Punk and Danielson, which meant putting a certain amount of money in.
I can already tell Punk and Danielson that they're like all friends in some way.
Yeah.
He's mentioned him.
I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like if he was going to show up, wouldn't he already show up?
Well, I don't know. No, remember, he still has the 90.
He can waive it. He has a contract where you could waive it like Aleister Black did. Okay. So,
well, maybe he shows up tomorrow. All right. We'll get to that in a minute.
My theory could be that maybe his downside guarantee is so much that he decided to just wait till the contract goes out and then go. Because, I mean, his deal was way over $1 million. So maybe you don't want to waive that.
Yeah, so just sit there and collect.
It's not the same as Adam Cole or Aleister Black. Like, that guy was making money.
Also, he talked about Tony Khan. He said, of all the Khans, you're easily in the top two. Then he mentioned Bruce Pritchard.
Like, man, even I got Bruce Pritchard's phone number, man. That's not impressive.
Wait, you do?
No.
Oh. I thought you said even I have. That you said even Bruce Pritchard.
No, I was. It's what Punk said. It's what Punk said. I was just.
Oh! He said that. That's hilarious. And yeah. He's probably like, and I'm never going to call him either. All right. So now let's get to the main event. We got Sammy Guevara, the Spanish God, versus God's favorite champion, Miro.
Well, obviously they were in Spain, and he was not the favorite that day.
This is a great match. And
fantastic.
I love the way
match.
They protected Miro, having him almost defeat himself.
I also love the finish. That 630 senton looks so stiff.
Oh,
I loved it. It looked
so
great.
Good.
It looked great.
I mean, I thought this was, I felt I don't feel like Miro lost anything by losing.
No. I think it further elevates the baseline of what they were saying. That Sammy Guevara is not like these other people. He is special. He's one of the pillars, and here's why. Boom. He's the second one of them to win a title before MJF did.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about it. It told, like, MJF's promo told the story for the entire show, and it ended with one of the people he mentioned showing why he's one of the pillars, which I could have easily said before that match. I could say he was the one that didn't make sense why he's with the other three guys.
Really? Okay.
What did he ever do?
Because I don't know. It's just the way he... I don't know. I always thought there's something special about him. Is he just...
I felt like he didn't really do anything, and he wasn't as popular as Jungle Boy. You know, because Jungle Boy doesn't win, but he's so popular that you can clearly see he's going somewhere. And with Sammy, I didn't feel like the crowd was so behind him. Why
the girl demographic is so down. They've got Jungle Boy. How is that? How are they not getting women to watch this?
The hardcore wrestling. Women, look, I've spoken to them. My girlfriend loves the blood matches, but she likes horror and all that stuff. But the ones that I've spoken to that don't, hate it. They hate the blood. They think AEW is like they heard of the exploding death match, and now they think every match is an exploding death match.
But it was just a one-time thing.
But that's the perception. Yeah. It's like, oh, that company that does exploding matches.
So how do you think they destroy? Because I still think
it's hard because they do a lot of hardcore stuff.
Yeah, they that do. Makes them different.
And, you but know, women don't want do different. At all. Women don't, that demographic does not want different. They want a certain thing and they don't like blood.
Can't they just matches. Turn up after that match?
I mean, it shouldn't be that surprising. It's not like women love DCW.
No, I know. I know.
You know, that's just what it is.
There are a lot of hardcore matches, but it's not.
Meltzer even spoke about it. They were doing really good with women until they did the Britt Baker?
Yeah, the Britt Baker.
Thunder Rosa match.
Which was the best match, was the thing that got her off.
The irony is like the best women's match they ever had, but it also killed the women demographic in a sense. Women don't like seeing bloody women. That made
Britt, to me, when I think of that, I mean, that's her stone cold. That's her stone cold moment of, you know, blood pure enough.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. That was her coming up. But we're men and we like things a certain way. Okay. But you do know women don't really like blood in their
shows. So what do you do then? I mean, I feel like they're doing everything right in order to.
I think they're never going to get that demographic personally because I don't see them changing to do that. Because for them to change, I think they will isolate the demographic that they have.
Do you think, though, like, say they got a Sasha Banks and a Bayley to come over? Do you think that would bring over the women?
You do know what they said. Who's the person that brought the most women into WWE? It was the Bella Twins.
Yeah.
Not Sasha. Not Charlotte.
No, I know that's what you brought.
But see, that tells you the mindset of that audience.
Well, that's why I think the Cody Rhodes show is important because I think it will attract women. Women love reality TV.
But I think the fact that I like the show, maybe it means that women won't like the show. Because it's not Total Divas. And Total Divas was very popular with women. This is the problem. I don't know if they could be authentic and get the women that they want. Because I feel that The product they put.
I don't think
the product we want.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever get to the point with women the way WWE is, but I think they can also push it a little bit. So that
maybe definitely 30, they can push it a little bit. But you know what? Has there ever been any data to show that Becky Lynch and Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley draw women?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because I think we assume they do because they're women.
Absolutely.
But to be honest, I've never seen a woman really like dress with a shirt that said the man.
Yeah.
I've seen guys do it, you know. And I think that's an interesting question to ask because I don't really feel like any of the women stars they've had have been like women that women fans cared about. Like, I know they cared about the Bella Twins, and I know they cared about AJ Lee.
Yeah.
I don't know if they cared about the Four Horsewomen the way we do, because I think they provided the kind of action we like.
And what do you think the women like
physicality in their wrestling?
I mean, we're both guys. This is why we need to. We'll bring on a woman and talk about this. Not just any. What do you think the woman fan wants?
I don't know. I'm not a woman.
I know.
I never understand what they want. You know, I just kind of get by.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about, Sammy Guevara is going to face Bobby Fish. Is Bobby Fish now with AEW, or is this a one-off?
I think it's a one-off.
That's what I feel.
I think it might turn into something more if they're like very impressed. Would you put
Bobby Fish with the Elite?
I think they need to do a segment with Adam Cole. I just think they should. Yeah.
But do you think Bobby Fish should join the Elite?
No. I can't have every. I don't feel you should add, like, I don't want this to be the NWO. If you've never been a part of the Elite, you shouldn't be a part of the Elite. Okay, the only people that should join is Finn Balor, AJ Styles, and guys of that nature. If you're not one of those guys, I don't want you in it. Like, you shouldn't just put any random person in there.
I think with Sammy Guevara winning the title, it's a good way on the Brody's, you know, they consider Brody Lee the greatest TNT champion. That's Brody Lee's championship. They retired that belt that he wore, and they started the whole thing of now people get different belts. I thought it was a really good show overall. Let's move on. To Rampage, and let's talk about a match that I watched twice and was just in awe of. Danielson versus Nick Jackson. Wow. I think
the Omega match was better, but I think this is the match that showed, okay, I am not the same guy you saw in WWE.
Yeah.
Because I know you felt...
Yeah,
I know you felt like the draw was that, but I didn't feel that. I felt like he wrestled very similar to WWE, you know, the kicks and all this stuff. That was ROH, Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon. Everything about it, even the transition from the elbows and the cattle mutilation, that is pure ROH, and I loved it.
What was it, the gory special, you know?
Yeah, the way he worked was so vicious. I loved it. What that made me want to see?
What?
Zack Sabre Jr.
Like, oh, that's the match I want. That's coming. That's like the first match. If he goes to the Tokyo Dome, it's either him or Okada they should do.
I think it has to be him first.
But anyways, one of the things that I like about Danielson's matches is they're not patterned.
No, you can't, it's not.
Really figure them out. There's no pattern to them, and I like that. It's really exciting to watch. Like, he has really proven, like, he, to me, he has to be in the running for Wrestler of the Year because he was at the main event at WrestleMania.
That's a bad example. He got jobbed out.
But he made that match better than what it would have been. No, you don't think so? All right, well.
I think he did, but I don't think the match was that good.
I think he gave Roman Reigns his best match in this thing. That match.
That's not same. This is what I know. Nothing Danielson did in the last 3 years in WWE, outside of the fact of jobbing to Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania, has mattered. Everything the last 3 years in WWE did not matter.
No, I'm not saying that it mattered, but you know.
But that's what I want. If it don't matter, then it don't make sense. CD sense. Okay,
but my point is, of the quality of matches he's had, he started, he left at the very top, and then he walks right into AEW at the very top. And he has probably the best match in AEW, in Dynamite history, I would say.
And you can argue he had the best match in Rampage history.
That's a gimme. What other match?
I don't know, but to me, it's getting to the point that any match this man has is going to be the greatest that they have.
Two things have happened on Rampage that we will all remember: Punk returning and that match. That's everything.
That's only like his first match on TV, right? That's his first match on TV. Imagine outside of the Grand Slam, of course.
Yeah.
Imagine what he's gonna do for that pay-per-view. Oh my
God! He's doing such great stuff. That's why I'm like,
I can't wait.
I don't know. Like, I mean, should
this they do is the Bryan Danielson that I love? Like, you know my point of view. Like, you've always been very pro Daniel Bryan and WWE, and I was very pro Punk. And I always said I like Danielson more in ROH than I like Punk in ROH. But I love Punk more in WWE than Danielson. Because this is the Danielson that I liked. Yeah. You know, I don't like the smiley,
happy-go-lucky.
I like, there was a sick and sadistic nature to some of the stuff he did, and I love that.
And that's why I think, you know, if you ever want to turn him heel, just have him like pull, you know, Ibushi.
Yes, I think he can turn heel easy. Punk is gonna be hard.
But I would not turn him heel now. Do not turn him heel.
No, not yet. No, I can't even see it happening in the first year and a half. Maybe two years. I don't see Punk turning in years.
But the thing I see about him is they need to get that title on him because he's going to bring everybody up with every match he has. Like, the way I see Danielson right now, he's like, he can wrestle absolutely anybody right now and have like an amazing.
Yeah, but you could say the same for Kenny. You know,
yeah, like, you can, but Kenny, you know,
it's hard because you feel like they've been building the storyline with Hangman and Omega, and it feels like because of all the debuts that they might have to steer away from that, which is kind of sad because I do like Adam Page.
Wait, is Adam Page one of the pillars?
Ain't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's who I would have thought would have been there instead of Sammy Guevara.
That's what I'm asking. Is he one of the pillars?
Obviously not. They didn't mention him.
He's just a cowboy.
He's just a guy.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about this. I mean, the cattle. One, I love that he used cattle mutilation to win. So we've established that's the finisher.
And I love the transition. Like, he used to do it. This is what I personally, this is what I loved about All Japan Pro Wrestling and the King's Road style. Like, I like when you do a huge move and don't pin, and you pick them up and you do another one, and you go like when Sammy Guevara did the go to sleep move and then does I like that. I like when guys do like a power bomb and then grab you and do a F5 or something. If that's your finish,
That's what Okada would do, you know? He'll hit like three.
I like that strong style transition.
When I pin you, that's it. It's the end.
You know, like he went for the elbows. He did the stomps, then the elbows, then the catamaran. Like, that was like, there was no doubt who was better.
Also, I love the spot he did where, you know, he was no selling the kicks. And then he spit in his face. And I was like, that's great. Like, I'm remembering his spots in the match. Yeah. I barely remember spots in matches because they just all kind of flow together. But his match, I kind of like, I remember what he did. It was so, also, was I like so they good. Were fighting on the apron. The way they
it
were
was
fighting,
so good.
You never see that in WWE. They never fight in the apron like that, except for like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing that, you know, I thought this was just an amazing match.
I totally agree.
Then the Super League came out and we got, you know, there's going to be an 8-man tag. That's going to be really good. I wonder, are they going to start the show with the 8-man tag or are they going to close the show with the 8-man tag? Like, what's the main event? Is it the Casino Battle Royal or do you start the show?
I think it might be the Casino Battle Royal. I think that's the main event. So
let's talk a little bit about the Casino Battle Royal before we finish up with, you know, Rampage. Let's just talk a little bit about it. What do you think the Joker is?
Hangman.
You think it's Hangman?
Yeah.
The only thing is Hangman, you know. Yeah, it could be Hangman. You don't think it could be Wyatt?
Not really, but that'd be cool. But I think it's going to be Hangman. I think everybody is just waiting for it. I don't think Bray Wyatt shows up to the pay-per-view. If he's going to show up, I think he'll probably show up for the pay-per-view.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I lean toward Hangman, but I think...
You don't feel that's big enough of a surprise to warrant...
The Orange Code, the people that made the Fiend's entrance music, they said they'd make him another entrance music. So I bet he's going to have an even better... Like, that was one of the things that the Fiend had. Like, no matter how, like, lame they booked him, he still had, like, such a cool entrance. Except for they had the WWE it and, like, put on the bottom of the screen the Fiend. The Fiend. Yeah.
Like the Undertaker.
Like, well, if you don't know who he is. Like, I don't like that stuff. I don't like it when they go, that's too cute. He doesn't need to be
WWE.
He doesn't need to be a part of the show. Like, you don't need to put something on there saying who this guy is. Like, no, he doesn't need a name tag.
But that's WWE. They always have to beat everything over the head.
And that's what I think. I think if he comes in with, like, the scary, I think what he should
You know
do
what WWE is?
Half mask.
It's a comedian that has to explain all their jokes.
Yeah, he really is. They really are. All right. So Jade Cargill versus Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rosa. A lot of roses. Jade Cargill wins. Do you think they should have beaten Rosa here?
No.
I think
Nyla should have taken the fall.
Yeah. I don't know why they were even in a match together, really. Because they don't want to beat Jade.
Then don't have her take the pin. Jay should have pinned Nyla Rose. Like, I understand that they put Nyla Rose through a table, so I guess they want Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rose to feud or something, but I don't know. They've been having Thunder Rosa lose a lot for my taste.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so Cassidy versus Evans hair match. He wins with the orange punch. That's another interesting one.
Would you not consider Orange Cassidy to be a pillar?
Yeah, he's another one. They've got
or is
so
he
many
too
guys
old?
Kind of are a pillar.
Or is he too old to be considered a pillar?
I don't know. He has such a connection with the audience that it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It really does. You can't, I don't know, you can't deny it. I thought that was a decent. It's a nice match for Orange. I mean, Orange Cassidy is more of an act than I would say a guy.
I will say this. Danielson and Jackson should have been the main event. I am so tired of them. They keep doing this. And this is the problem with Rampage. The crowd seems a little like they're out of energy by the time they get to Rampage. You've already done Dark Elevation and then 2 hours of Dynamite. And then you're on the fourth hour of Rampage. And then you want to do the main event to be a Orange Cassidy versus Jack Evans over Danielson and Jackson, and would probably be the best Rampage match. What? I don't like them making the most anticipated and best matches the first match, because now you're educating the audience to think, okay, let's watch the beginning and leave.
Yeah, I agree. It's a hard predicament they're in.
It's not. Just make it last. It's really not. You know, like, just make it last. It, for one, Rampage is taped. So that's not even an excuse.
But the reason they're doing that, I told you, is because they can get a longer break. They don't have to take as many breaks. If you did the main event, you'd have to take 2 breaks. Oh. It would hurt that match. You don't think so?
It will hurt the match somewhat, but I think it hurts the show more overall if you continue educating the audience that you're going to do your best stuff in the first 30 minutes of the show. There's no way for that not to look bad. I'd much rather put the best and most focused matches on last and have it be multiple breaks. You do the screen and screen anyway.
Yeah, I know. But I know.
But here's the thing. It's on TV, not pay-per-view. That is something you got to accept. So if you're going to have good matches, you shouldn't put your great matches on first. Even if you have to divide the breaks more. Like, that should not be something that you do.
I don't know. I mean, the thing about their matches, though, especially in AEW, is they're not destroyed by all these stupid breaks.
WWE matches suck because WWE matches suck. Not because they take a million breaks. This is what we need to stop. AEW is not WWE. Okay? Yes. It's not. Because they take an extra break doesn't mean it's going to start feeling like a WWE match, because it's not a WWE match. That is fundamentally the biggest difference. I think we get it in our minds that if they do this, it will make them more like that. And I don't think that's true, because they don't do things like that. You know, the fact is, if you tell Danielson, because he's a pro, okay, we're going to have 2 breaks in this part and this part, and watch, he'll make it work. Those guys are all pros. They will make it work. Right. I have no doubt about that. Just tell them, okay, you're going to have a break here and a break here, and they'll make it work, and you won't even remember they had a break.
So they had, at the end of this show, at the end of Rampage, they had a little tribute for Brody Lee for the Rochester crowd. Cody Rhodes was there. Dark Order, -1, Tony Khan. So that seemed like a nice little thing. They should probably put that on. Have they put that up? No.
I don't think so.
All right. So what do you think should happen? So Dynamite is tomorrow. What do you think? What would you say should happen?
I think the ladder match should be last.
Okay.
I would open with the 6-man or
what? The 8-man.
8-man tag. And I don't know what other matches are on the show.
Oh, they got Serena Deeb and Hirokara Shida.
What?
I would put that on at the 9 o'clock hour.
Agreed.
50th win. But you know what's interesting? This is the anniversary show. So they could bring in a Hangman Page back, or they could bring in, or it could be Bray Wyatt.
Here's a problem that I see with Hangman being the Joker now, that people want it to be Bray Wyatt, so they're going to see it as a disappointment. And this is the problem with Hangman right now. I feel that he was slotted as one of the pillars, and I feel that all these new debuts have completely put him in back burner. Like, I mean, it's not even like subtle, and it can't be. Like, what are you trying to tell me? Oh, Hangman should win the title, and that you should forget all the dream matches and just have Hangman. Why? Because it's good for Hangman. Like, I mean, it is what it is. This is the wrestling business.
Yeah,
I don't think he's getting a run. With Hangman, honestly, I don't think he's getting a run.
I mean, I like Hangman, but it's just...
He's not getting a run.
Not to me, like we've talked about it, he's not the best. Do you feel like he's the best? I don't.
No. I did think he was one of the best at one time.
Want the best.
I thought he was one of the best. But now I don't think he is. Because now the best have arrived.
I know.
That's just what it is. I thought he was one of the best, but now, like, honestly, the only guy in the AEW roster that has maintained their spot, in my opinion, is Omega. I checked his age. He's 30, right? Ooh, 30. Adam Page.
Oh, Adam Page?
Yeah. Adam Cole, 32. Why would you pick Hangman Page over Adam Cole if they're about the same age and Adam Cole is literally better in every category?
I know.
That's the problem. Right. And that's not to say anything. I feel like they had something with the cowboy stuff and the beer drinking, but I think it kind of veered off the rail.
So I'm thinking for Bray Wyatt, if he comes out, he needs to have like a half mask or something, like part of his face obscured or something, with a mask.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I think that would be kind of a cool look. Be like, I'm split. We don't know.
I don't know what he's gonna do. He always does something different. Yeah. I'm not even gonna pretend to even think that I know what Bray Wyatt
is. He can be the scary character he couldn't be in WWE.
Yeah.
Because now he can...
Here's a problem, though. Okay, he's scary. But you have this balance, because then you don't want to get in the same trap that you got in WWE.
They got to get away from the supernatural shit. That shouldn't be... Don't go that way. He can be scary, but in the realm of reality, not... I don't want to
like
see
Alistair, like Malakai Black. Yeah, look what like he's Malakai done. Black. You know, it's realistic.
Exactly. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see this over supernatural character. I don't want to see what they did with the demon with the heartbeat. And like, he's coming back from the dead. And then he loses to a trip turnbuckle.
You know what? I really think it's going to be Hangman Page now, because now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Who's in the match?
Okay, here it is. I got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Pac, Andrade, Orange Cassidy, Jon Moxley, Matt Hardy, Lance Archer, Joker.
So, it's either Pac, Andrade, or Moxley, or the Joker. I don't think it'd be Moxley, right? It probably wouldn't be Andrade because I don't think they're bringing in Ric Flair. I
No,
don't think it'd be Pac. So it would have to be the Joker. So I think it would have to be Hangman because do you really want to debut The Fiend? I mean, Bray Wyatt.
well, yeah, whatever he's
And
gonna
then
call him.
literally lose on his second match in.
I know, see, that's the problem I have with him coming in, but if you do Hangman and then he what, and then he loses.
That's fine. That's his spot.
We just have him come in and lose.
That's his spot.
Actually, you know what they could do? They could have Hangman and then just have Bray come in later. Like do a T like they did with
Hangman was losing to Brian Cage like a month ago
no.
or
Do
something.
like what they did with All Out. Like give a fake out, do the thing and then have him show up at the end or something and attack whoever the winner is.
That's fine.
They could do
That could
that.
work.
I think they could do something like that. So this, like they're really good at like what they did with having Adam Cole come out before Danielson and have everybody kind of
I
like,
would have Wyatt feud with Sammy Guevara.
yeah, that would be a good thing.
I wouldn't have him feud against Kenny Omega. I'd have him away from Kenny
No.
Omega.
I wouldn't want to have him, but I wouldn't want
You
to beat
can't put him
Sammy
in the world
Guevara
title
again.
picture because Danielson is taking that over.
No, you know
So,
who he should face? He should face like a Moxley. Moxley's perfect because they can have a brawl.
yeah, but I think Sammy Guevara feuds with Bray Wyatt, and I think Sammy Guevara becomes the biggest star out of it. I think
But I think
if Bray Wyatt feuds with Moxley, you could do that at any time.
if you do Sammy Guevara soon, then you'd have to beat one of the two. I don't think they should do that yet. I don't think.
I think you can prolong. I think you could do the program and prolong the actual match. But yeah,
Okay.
I would have Bray Wyatt lose. Somebody got to lose.
Yeah, no, I think they could do that.
Here's
Don't know,
the
it's a lot of.
problem. With a roster that big, somebody got to lose.
Absolutely. I just don't think he should lose yet, because.
No, I wouldn't. I would say start the feud, but I wouldn't actually have that match till the next pay-per-view in January,
Also,
February.
if he has like a fiend kind of look, I would have him get away from. I love the way the Fiend looked, but when you took that red light off of him, he kind of looked like a cartoon character with the red pants.
It with stupid lights.
I think they're. All right. Anything else to say about this show?
No, Dynamite was good.
Rampage.
Rampage, the first match was great. I still don't like the time slot at all. The ratings went down even further, and I think it will go down even further next week.
But they're
And
doing really well regardless of the ratings
yes.
in that time slot.
Yes, in that time slot, but it's a terrible time slot. And you're giving, and let's be honest, they're giving out matches on Rampage that, considering the time slot and the views you're getting, you should put them on Dynamite. You can argue that why are you doing Nick Jackson and Danielson on Rampage for 500,000 people when you have over a million on Dynamite? So that's half your audience not watching a match that they should be watching.
Yeah. All right, that's a good point. All right. I think that about does it for this show. I want to say thank you for listening, and we will see you next time on the King's Road podcast.
And don't forget, if it don't make money, it don't make sense.
There you go.
City sign. Yeah.